Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is Mraz. Today's show was fuller than me after an NFL Sunday. Enjoy the takes and laughs in the Best of the DA Show.
We begin in the NBA, where the league is wrapping up before the All-Star break. Sunday is the All-Star game of the All-Star festivities. Pre-game on Sunday is going to be the three-point contest. Halftime is going to be the slam dunk contest. Sunday is all of the All-Star weekend condensed into one day. And perhaps the greatest story in basketball going into the All-Star break is happening in the desert. The Phoenix Suns. The Suns have been absolutely wretched for years. The last time the Suns even made the playoffs was 2010. We're talking about 11 years ago, the last time they made the playoffs. Now, those were exciting Suns teams. It's such a bummer they never got to an NBA Finals. That was the Steve Nash, Amari Stoudemire years, up and down, push the pace. Last time the Suns were in the playoffs, they had lost in the Western Conference Finals in 2010. Since then, it's just been a march to ineptitude. 2013, 25 wins. 2016, 23 wins. 2017, 24 wins. 2018, 21 wins. And then bottoming out in 2019 when they were 19 and 63, and all had seemed lost in Phoenix for years. And then a new look on things, a new GM, a new head coach, and a new star. The acquisition of Chris Paul in this offseason has meant everything to the Phoenix Suns. And to pair him alongside Devin Booker, and to add a guy like Dario Saric, and to see the growth of a center like DeAndre Ayton, whoa. The Suns last night took on the Warriors, and with a win would have the second-best record of the NBA. Second-best record of the NBA, the entire NBA. Forget the Bucks, forget the Lakers, forget the Clippers, forget the Sixers or the Nets. That the Phoenix Suns, with a win last night over Golden State, who was resting all of their stars, would have the second best record in the NBA going into the All-Star break. How did we get here? It is where we begin your cold open.
Payne with the rebound, and you can put this one in the old deep freeze. It's over. And the Suns finish things out before the All-Star break with a big win over a shorthanded Golden State Warrior team, but they still all count. Here's the final score. The Suns 120, the Golden State Warriors 98.
CP is a guy who leads vocally. He's always on us, showing us the little things on how to win, the small details that count. Us as young players, we just want to listen, and, you know, it's contagious the way how he approached the game, so, you know, it's a blessing.
Amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
That was Phoenix Suns radio on the final call last night at a blowout victory over Golden State. That was DeAndre Ayton on TNT talking about just how important, impactful Chris Paul has been. Look, I don't want to go overboard here and use hyperbole. However, I do think there's a similarity between Chris Paul and Tom Brady. Now, Chris Paul doesn't have the rings that Tom Brady does. Chris Paul's not the greatest of all time like Tom Brady is. And when you signed Chris Paul, there was no guarantee. Like the Buccaneers signing Tom Brady, obviously you kind of knew exactly what you were getting in terms of legacy, championships, playoff success, etc. But here's the similarity, here's the parallel. Is that you had a good team worth of talent that needed somebody to walk into the room in Tampa Bay and say, this is how things are done. This is how we approach our job. And now expectations are here. They used to be down here. Now they're up here. If I'm playing, we're a contender. And that's what Chris Paul brought to the table. Paul might not have the elusive championship, but Chris Paul's played in a lot of good teams, and every team that he's been on for a number of years pretty much has been a contender, and that's what Chris Paul is bringing to the table here with the Phoenix Suns. And like Tom Brady, here is an elder statesman that's been there before and a great leader telling the young guys, here's how we go about our business. And everything has flourished around Chris Paul. And it's amazing because Paul has certainly had his fair share of critics over the course of his career. And yet here he is very obviously as the final ingredient to a group that was growing, that was getting more interesting, but was not a contender. Last year, they were under 500 and Devin Booker's run in the bubble was really fun to watch. But again, they were a piece or two away. But this offseason, adding Chris Paul has changed the entire recipe in Phoenix. Number one, Chris Paul has allowed Devin Booker to just be the scorer that Devin Booker was born to be. He doesn't have to be the floor general. He doesn't have to be the leader. He can just be the elite scorer that he is. Chris Paul also allows DeAndre Ayton to be set up with a lot of easy buckets, where DeAndre Ayton has been a bit of a bust, let's face it, since he was drafted number one overall. But Ayton, again, doesn't have to carry the load as the second scorer. So because Chris Paul fits in perfectly just under Devin Booker in terms of their offensive scoring load, that slides DeAndre Ayton down a peg. Ayton's getting a lot better looks, especially on lob passes, because Chris Paul's been beautiful there. And so that has opened up DeAndre Ayton's game. Dario Saric as well has been a wonderful piece as really a third scoring option or a fourth scoring option. You heard it in that highlight. And frankly, I think that the way that the roster was built by this group of guys, James Jones as GM and Monty Williams as the head coach, was about finding impressive, dedicated, veteran, high-character guys. And that started to change the expectation and change the culture for the Phoenix Suns, who had always just thrown a bunch of stuff against the wall and probably had a lot of selfish players. It's been great to watch. It's been a great, great story. And the Phoenix Suns, as I always like to point out, the sports stories that should give us hope if you're rooting for a team that has always lost, always been losers, the Suns are that story. The Phoenix Suns have been losers for a decade, and overnight, they have become the second best record of the NBA behind the Utah Jazz. It's been phenomenal. Monty Williams has been great. And look, since they hired Monty, they have dragged themselves out of the pits of despair. Again, they were 19-63 in 2018-2019. And then they hire Monty Williams. They get close to 500, have the bubble run last year. And then this year, where everything's come together, they're 24-11. They're one of the best teams in basketball. Really cool story. Going to the All-Star break, they might be the best story. Them and the Jazz, the Sixers, just phenomenal. Phenomenal stories. The Knicks have come out of nowhere to be competitive as well. We've got good action in the NBA heading into the All-Star break this weekend. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Or on Twitter, DA on CBS. Mraz, what's the secret sauce? The Suns have the second best record of the NBA.
I think it's depth of scoring, D.A. Six guys have played at least 30 games and averaged in double figures, which is obviously more than your starting lineup. And the fact that you could come out in waves, and obviously they play the high to low with Ayton and Booker, I just think their depth and their quality, they have a perfect mix of young guys, veterans. Jay Crowder has been an excellent, excellent pickup for them as well. And also, look, let's face it. We always talk about teams needing to tank and win the lottery. Sometimes you do need a little bit of luck. It happened. We saw it happen with the Bulls when they landed Jimmy Butler, although he didn't stay there. Obviously, the Spurs with Kawhi Leonard. And you get Devin Booker at 13th overall 5 years ago. I mean, there are a lot of names taken before Devin Booker where you look back and go, geez, if this team had just figured out that this was the guy I should have picked and not allow him to go to 13th, he's teammates with Frank Kaminsky, who got drafted ahead of him in the 2015 draft. So sometimes it's all about finding luck in the draft, and they did that with Devin Booker.
Really good point. Devin Booker comes in 13th in that draft. Giannis was number 15. We always assume you cannot get a franchise-changing player, a superstar, perennial all-star, cornerstone guy, unless you're drafting in the top five, and sometimes we say even the top three. And yet here are two guys found in the teens. So it can happen. It's rare, but it can happen. The Suns hit absolute gold on Devin Booker, and the signing, the trade for Chris Paul has paid huge dividends. And I really wondered whether the acquisition of Chris Paul was going to really pay that type of dividend. I thought, boy, is that team good enough to have Chris Paul go over the hump, push them over the hump? I thought it would make them interesting, but not great, not a contender. No doubt about it, they're a contender right now in the NBA.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
And remember, you can always listen to the DA show in podcast form. Listen to us on demand, DA on demand, whenever you want it. You can download full episodes of the show or the best of the show or the PGP, the show about the show, on one podcast feed. That is the DA show on your favorite podcast platform. Just search it, subscribe, rate, and review. That'll help other people find the podcast. For sound check today, we start with Steve Keim, the Cardinals GM. They've signed J.J. Watt to a nearly $30 million guaranteed deal. Does the addition of number 99 make the Cardinals a Super Bowl contender?
I don't know if I would use the word contender. It's hard for me to say that. What it does do is the goal in mind was to improve our football team, and that's what I said on the radio several weeks ago, which was any chance that we have to improve this football team, we'll take a look at it, whether it works business-wise, football-wise. And it did in both areas for us in this instance. So really feel like that he's going to come in and to be able to play beside Chandler Jones and create the type of pressure that those two can create was obviously very exciting for us. When you look at the Super Bowl or the playoffs or as talented as these quarterbacks have gotten across the league, the ability to create pressure and get quarterbacks off of their spot has become so critical. So to have a guy like this, and again, to bring in this infectious personality that can not only help young players develop, but hold people accountable, which is really, really important to me.
So let me just correct myself. J.J. Watt had a $30 million deal overall, 23 of it guaranteed, $23 million guaranteed. I think that that's interesting that Keim is going to stop short of calling them a Super Bowl contender. Now, it's understandable for general managers to be conservative with their proclamations, their predictions. Obviously, it'll make them look really foolish if the Cardinals do not end up in a Super Bowl or another GM proclaimed that his team is a Super Bowl contender and they flame out in the wild card round. So this is par for the course for a lot of executives. However, I think he's right. I don't think it makes the Cardinals a Super Bowl contender. I think J.J. Watt is a big name and he has been a great player in the past. That doesn't mean he's a great player anymore. He really hasn't been great since 2018. That's 2 years ago, and he has had a number of injuries over the course of the last 5 years that have forced him to miss time and sometimes end the entire season. So asking J.J. Watt to be the final piece of a Super Bowl puzzle for an 8-8 team is a little much. I know that optimists will point to the fact that the Cardinals lost a lot of games by one score, a lot of close games last year. I would counter with, yeah, but that doesn't automatically mean you start winning the close game the next year, because if you have eight close games and you lose five of them, you did find a way to win three, and even if you get that to 5-5 or something like that, does that make the Cardinals at 10-6 a Super Bowl contender? I am dubious. I am skeptical that the Cardinals will be much more than a wild card team of the NFC. I could see them making the playoffs, but I don't believe in that division with the Seahawks, assuming they don't trade Russell Wilson, the Rams, who have upgraded with their quarterback position in Matthew Stafford, and a Niners team that is poised to be healthy this year. The last time they were healthy, they made the Super Bowl. I don't believe the Cardinals can be considered a Super Bowl contender with just the addition of J.J. Watt. It would take a massive leap by Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury to make them a Super Bowl contender, not just the addition of a 32-year-old J.J. Watt. Elsewhere in soundcheck, Andrew Berry's the GM of the Cleveland Browns. What does he want to see from Baker Mayfield going into next season?
Like all of our players, we want to see them take strides and show growth as we go into year two within our offense and defensive systems. I mean, look, Baker is the first quarterback, and you guys probably know the years more than I do, that's led this organization, led this team to the playoffs, a playoff victory. He's endured an enormous amount of adversity in his young career, just quite honestly, with the changes that he's gone through with coaching staffs, front offices, offensive systems, and he's risen above it all. And so I think we all saw him grow from week to week to week last year, and we expect him to continue that progress and have a fantastic 2021 season for us.
Baker Mayfield deserves credit. He deserves a lot of credit because Mayfield had been early in his career a guy that felt, played, acted immaturely. You know, he was a guy that kept doing the college-type thing, and the college-type thing doesn't work when you're a paid professional, the number one overall pick, and trying to change the culture of a franchise. The college thing was making everything a slight and acting out on the field. Trash-talking Hugh Jackson, saying this, saying that, acting out. The college thing was showing up and being out of shape two seasons ago. The college thing was not understanding how to handle the pressure and expectations of a team that was expected to get to the playoffs in 2019 and totally flamed out. Baker Mayfield was doing and saying the wrong things, and his play this past year got elevated. He matured. He acted and played like a professional. He acted and played like a franchise quarterback. And he was not asked to carry the entire load. Very smart by Kevin Stefanski. Stefanski allowed the Browns offense to revolve around two very good running backs. Very smart by Stefanski. And then Mayfield was asked to just fill in the blanks. Well, as we got later in the season, more was given to Baker Mayfield, and Mayfield took advantage of that, namely in the wild card round against the Steelers, where Mayfield was phenomenal. He was excellent, taking advantage of all of those turnovers. Now, the Steelers gave away a lot of that game, but Mayfield also had to play well. I thought that last season, he did go to the next level. Remember, he had 21 interceptions in 2019. He cut that down to 14 picks last year. Slicing 7 interceptions / turnovers off of your stats in one season, that's a big reason why the Browns got to the playoffs and won a playoff game. And so we'll see if Mayfield continues to take that next step. But for the first time, Mayfield looked the part of that number one pick. And I was not high on Baker Mayfield. I thought that he was basically a fancier version of Gardner Minshew. But last year, Mayfield did take that next step, and I was able to eat that crow, and the Browns were a playoff team. And finally, Jalen Ramsey joined the Huddle and Flow podcast. Now, what does he think about this Deshaun Watson situation in Houston?
Deshaun is a great man. Even now, with people trying to crucify him and talk bad on his name, he's still out there doing things for the community in Houston. But I highly doubt he'll ever, suit up in a in a Texans uniform again. He's very serious. I would say he's very serious.
So Deshaun Watson, quote, very serious about this, according to Jalen Ramsey, and that doesn't surprise me at all. I think Deshaun Watson, everything is very serious to him. Yes, he plays with a joy. Yes, he plays with a spark. But he is a really serious dude, which is why he's a great player, which is why he was a great winner at Clemson, which is why he's been a great player in the NFL, is because he takes everything really seriously. And I don't think he's flippant. I don't think that he's just reactionary. I don't think that he's a guy that's immature. I think he's a guy that has surveyed the situation in Houston and said, this is not good for me. This is bad for me, and I can't be here. And look, from what we know about Jack the Quack, Easterby, and what we know about the owner, Cal McNair, sitting on his floor of his office and playing video games, it doesn't seem like the type of place most of us would believe we could be successful either. So I think Deshaun Watson being very serious about his craft, very serious about winning, very serious about not wasting his time for a dysfunctional organization, I think Deshaun Watson is very serious about never playing there again. We'll see if that changes, but at the moment, I totally believe Deshaun Watson. And we had Mike Meltzer join us on the show yesterday. He has spent his entire career in Houston covering the Houston Texans. He's a host for SiriusXM, and he called the Houston Texans the worst situation in sports. We have some bad situations. That's saying something. And that is your sound check this morning. You can hit us up on the phones at 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter as well, DA on CBS. The first rendition of Andrew Kaplan's Wizard of Watch DA Friday meme is out, and it is causing all types of conversation on our internal G-chat here on the show. The best part about Cap's memes are that you have to have heard the entire week's worth of shows to have any semblance of understanding of what the graphic means. If you missed even 6 minutes of the show, you might be like, what the hell is this? What does this mean? I'm going to pause before I completely describe what the meme is this morning, because it's such an Easter egg that maybe even I don't understand all of it. But if you are a fan of Mraz's story this week about 12 minutes in and out at Waffle House and the look of pure ecstasy on his face when he was absolutely crushing that egg scramble earlier in the week, let me just say that you will love this week's Target Demo Friday meme, which is coming soon to a Facebook or a Twitter near you. Does it take you back seeing that picture, Mraz, to those beautiful 12 minutes at Waffle House in Punta Gorda, Florida?
It that's pretty good. Punta Gorda right outside of Port Charlotte. It's a pretty good job. Yes, it does. Specifically, you know when you sit at the counter at Waffle House, you can just get that smell of them and that batter going. I'm getting that smell back in my nose right now, D.A. That little sizzle when the bacon I ordered was cooking but never got to me. I'm hearing it all. The sights and sounds, if you will, come flowing back when I see this picture.
It's great. What can you say? It's just continued greatness from Andrew Kaplan. That kind sir laugh is back with your headline this morning. Bogues, do you feel like a waffle right now?
I do actually. I love waffles. I don't think I've ever had a Waffle House waffle, which is definitely a mark on my eating career. Yeah. But yeah, I'll eat anybody's waffle at this point right now. I'm starving.
I drink your milkshake. I eat your waffle.
And I'll savor mine. I'll take at least 5 minutes to eat mine, not the 54 seconds that Sean did.
In, out, 12 minutes, done for the day.
And that includes travel, by the way. That's round trip 12 minutes. It's really like 8 minutes in and out of Waffle House itself.
That's with the commute.
You think Bartolo Colon's getting down to Waffle House that quick? That's what I'm talking about, my athleticism.
No, I think he's a gentleman. I think he eats nicely and slowly and savors every bite of the waffle. He doesn't turn it into a pizza slice and shove it down his gullet.
Did you put butter on that waffle?
Yes, I did. Butter.
Silly question.
Butter and chocolate chips. I'm not a syrup guy, though. I don't like maple syrup, really.
Okay, so number one, I totally would have bet that you were maple syrup, drizzly, ooey gooey. But number two, the reason I ask, Bogues, is because do you even have time to put butter on the waffle with 12 minutes in and out?
Oh, the canisters they give at Waffle House are easy. Rip that right off, plop it right on, quick over there with the butter knife, and away you go.
So there's enough moisture in a waffle with just the butter and chocolate chips for you?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a good question.
If I did just like a plain flavorless waffle, I it's tough for me to do. But yeah, as long as it's blueberries, chocolate chips, I don't want the syrup. I feel like it takes away from the taste. I'm just not a big maple syrup guy. Now, you give me like a blueberry syrup and an IHOP or Cracker Barrel, something like that. All right. Little fresh crushed blueberry, something like that. Just the maple syrup doesn't do it. I've never been a maple syrup guy.
French toast, no maple syrup?
No, French toast is straight butter for me.
How is that? I can't imagine having any of those things, French toast, pancake, or a waffle without syrup. This is like unfathomable to me.
Yeah. I'm not going to stand here and tell you that I've never had maple syrup. I've had maple syrup. I don't reach for it. I don't find it to add anything to me. I don't love the taste. So to me, it's wasted calories.
Oh, my God. It's so delicious.
Wasted calories. Oh, this is where you're drawing the line on calories?
I'm not acting as if I'm having a salad and that's dressing. I understand that. But to me, if I already know I'm in a deep dive of something really unhealthy and there's something else unhealthy I could add to it that I don't love, why would I add that?
I can't even believe you could make that argument after what you
Your
shovel,
logic is unbelievable.
What you shovel into your face on a daily basis, suddenly you're like, I don't want the empty calories of maple syrup.
No.
I'm already at 900. Can't do 950. That's where I draw the line.
I'm not even
meant to be
a joke. Put
that syrup away.
So your philosophy is if you're having something unhealthy, then just nothing else matters? Or, I mean, why even add anything else to it? If you don't like something that's unhealthy, why add it is my point.
Well, if you don't like the taste of it, that's one thing. But you've been completely reckless in your caloric intake in every other meal I've ever witnessed. You're never like parsing, well, this is 25 calories I shouldn't have. You know what? Hold off on this. You're just always, whatever it is in front of you, inhale it immediately. So I just can't believe you're drawing the line at maple syrup.
It's not the first line I draw, but it does help me mentally go, not only do I not like it, it's just going to make me fatter. So I don't need it.
So if you don't like it, that's fine. But like, if you're eating a pound of chocolate chips on a waffle, the maple syrup is the least of your concerns. Well, was it four? I'm sure it wasn't four.
No, but bogus. It's a quick little handful. They're very stingy with the chocolate chips in a Waffle House. It's not that lot. It's probably they amount to almost no calories. I would imagine.
Right, but I mean, later.
Yeah, you're imagining
day,
incorrectly.
Later in the day, would you have some bacon wrapped double cheeseburger with fries and ranch dressing? At
what
no
do you think my meals are like all day?
Those, I think that's what you're eating.
We've known you for years. We know what you're doing.
I had a smoothie for lunch yesterday. You guys got me all wrong.
Okay. All right. So the man that claimed he was going to lose 100 pounds but gained 25.
Oh, now it's 25. I'm not going to stand for fake numbers. It was 20, and it's down to up 16.
Okay. All right. So now you're going to be like, oh, what do you guys think I am? Some type of fat guy? I had a smoothie yesterday. You guys have me pegged all wrong.
Now, look, you want to tell me on vacation? I mean, like, but I'm pretty – every day. Now, you want to tell me I have an unhealthy meal? That's fine. But if I know I've used my unhealthiness at breakfast, I'm not going to double down with a double bacon cheeseburger for lunch.
Raz, what you ate for Super Bowl could literally –
that's a special day. It's one of the two biggest eating days of the year.
A family – in a different continent, a different country, that could feed an entire family.
First of all, it can't feed a family an entire continent.
No, not an entire continent, but a family in a different continent, absolutely.
But Thanksgiving and Super Bowl, those are your two days where nothing matters. Calories don't count. You throw it out the window. You're giving me a special day. That's not a Friday.
I am very loose.
But you inhaled 10,000 calories in one sitting, and now you're like, how dare you think that I wouldn't have a smoothie for lunch? I can't believe you think you're surprised I would try to save 20 calories on the maple syrup. I'm watching my empty calories.
My point is, if you think I had two chocolate chip waffles, and that means then I followed up with a double bacon cheeseburger, you don't know me. Well, I do have some conscientious thoughts if I know I've already gone down an unhealthy road.
And I got an oopsie.
Quickly go through the scoreboard, the tally of Super Bowl.
Not even that. Didn't you say earlier that day you had a platter of fried stuff at a restaurant, but it was early, you thought it was lunchtime, then so dinner became a late night Waffle House hit? So, like, your chicken tenders and chicken wings That's not light eating, and then you double down with a waffle. Oh, so right away on. There, you're wrong.
I had like one chicken finger and one wing because I knew it was snack time.
Had a chicken finger and one wing.
We were sharing it with another family. I didn't want to be a pig. It wasn't my place. I was a guest.
You had one wing for lunch.
It wasn't lunch. I had Wendy's for lunch. It was...
Oh, okay.
Which prompted my Trash Tuesday earlier in the week for Easter eggs.
So you had Wendy's for lunch.
But I only had a small fry.
A wing and a chicken tender for snack, and then Waffle House for dinner. And you would dare say, how could you think I eat unhealthy?
Chicken
nuggets. I had a smoothie yesterday. Well, right, but 6 days ago you ate Wendy's, chicken wings, and Waffle House for your meals.
Maple syrup? I'm glad we talked this out because now I see why I need a therapist. You're right.
You just need to have somebody else make your diet up for you. You're not qualified to make these decisions.
Oh, I've said it for a long time. We need a nutritionist for myself, but it's a tough job. Look, it's like getting hired by the Knicks. You know you're out in 3 years.
Yeah, you need your Thibodeau right now.
It's like Mike Wood said, you just know there's no, you don't stand a chance at longevity there.
Oh, mama, yeah.
The Meraz diet. Have your plate sized waffle, throw your chocolate chips on top, but don't dare have that maple syrup, and you'll be perfectly thin in a couple of weeks.
Have it before 5 p.m.
And you know the craziest? I'm still not fat enough if I wanted weight loss surgery. I don't even qualify for weight loss surgery because I'm not fat enough. I'm a meddling 8-8 team. I can't get to the top of the draft, and I'll never win a Super Bowl.
Pretzel bun?
The worst thing to be is that 8-8 NFL team, which is where Meraz is stuck right now, not fat enough to get stomach stapling, not skinny enough to be healthy.
You can win the East, but not the conference.
It's a tough place to be. I get Kirk Cousins in there, maybe I'll win a division on the cheap.
You gotta hope it's the NFC East 1 year.
Just get me to a wild card game.
Oh, man. All right. Bogues has our headlines this morning. That is good. That is good. All right. What do we got?
LeBron and KD guys picked their teams last night for Sunday's All-Star game in Atlanta. James had the first pick, used it on Giannis, eventually completing a starting five with Steph Curry, Luka Doncic.
I can't even look at GA right now. I might have to show He's closed his eyes completely. He's just holding a laugh so Bowie can politely get through an update.
I'm just thinking about all the NBA teams that finished just outside the lottery. They're like, we hate it here. It's terrible. We'll never land LeBron, and we'll never win an NBA championship. Basically, you've got to be the process in Philadelphia and just tank, and you've got to become 400 pounds.
Right!
Because where you are right now is not working.
That's crazy. I have a better shot of losing weight if I eat myself out of my home. A stadium
so that's the goal
dong
now.
Right to the face.
Now you got to gain 100 before Taylor's in kindergarten.
That's the goal. That's the goal
and
now.
Then go the other way.
And then hope I survive the table. It's ridiculous.
Well, while they're in there, they'll throw your pacemaker in, get that in ahead of the curve.
He's going to be like, go to Costco, give me everything you got. The stent, the pacemaker.
While you got
stomach.
Me open, just throw it all in.
I'll take 16 rolls of toilet paper, whatever you could do here.
While what? I'm open, throw it all in.
We know I'll be back.
Just dump all the metal objects you got in there.
It's like going for the oil change. And we see this air filter's dirty here, too. All right, change that. Here's the credit card.
6-for-1 deals.
Meraz gets a coupon out of the circular for it. I need everything, guys. I need the works.
The works.
Jiffy Lube Hospital.
Yeah, the Mount Sinai Jiffy Lube. Give it to me all.
Can I get out of here for lunch?
I'm supposed to read basketball scores now.
I got to be out of here in about 45 minutes. I got dessert lined up.
Can we get this in?
Replace the hip now. It's going in 6 years.
Come on, guys. I got to get dessert in by 5 o'clock. Come on. Speed it up.
Guy's doing traffic quarters. He's cutting me open.
Would you Doc, get, like,
Doc, are you in traffic court right now?
Like your lawyer for your arrest who called into FAN. That's how we'll find this doctor, too. We'll just take a call from somebody randomly, and he'll do the procedures for you.
Mraz told us a story from earlier in the week where last week when he was in Florida, he was in and out of a Waffle House in 12 minutes. That includes walking to the Waffle House and back to his hotel room and having eaten a chocolate chip waffle. 12 minutes, the Usain Bolt of Waffle House, setting all types of world records. And so the meme is Mraz crushing one of those waffles outside of a Waffle House, and our logo, our circular show logo, being a waffle, which makes the show look really, really delectable, and this needs to be a future logo of the show. And Mraz have that look of ecstasy from his egg scramble earlier in the week on his face as he wears a Kirk Cousins jersey. Now, there's a lot of references there, and you need to dig deep. This is like a Highlights for Kids magazine. The Kirk Cousins uniform comes to us as a reference from last hour, where Mraz saying he's not going to use the maple syrup on the waffle because it's just empty calories, of course, because of how disciplined he always is with his meals and eating. The Kirk Cousins jersey is representative of that Mraz isn't heavy enough to get gastric bypass. So he's caught this in-between, kind of like an 8-8 team looking for Kirk Cousins. He's not skinny enough to be healthy, but not heavy enough to get gastric bypass.
Kirk Cousins.
The always terrible 7-9 situation. Essentially, Mraz's diet is Jeff Fisher. It's just not bad enough to get fired and not good enough to make the playoffs.
I mean, really, I've seen a couple big loads that were way heavier than me that are now way thinner than me because they qualified. It's ridiculous. It's not fair.
Have you asked about the stomach stapling?
No, because I don't know that I could go through with that either. I feel you're also cheating, too, when you do that. I'm not a cheater. I need to do things the natural way. Yeah. But it's just more principle that even if I wanted to go down that road, I would literally have to become crazily more unhealthy and gain, I think, like another 80 to 100 pounds to qualify, which is insane. Now, I could probably do it, but it's insane. So it's crazy that by being worse than me, you actually in many ways could be better off on the health process. And I find that to be very backwards.
As we described this last hour, both me, Bogish, and Mraz just cracking up, and Pete as well. I mean, we were just laughing and laughing and laughing. Kevin tweets, "My goodness, you guys are going to get me fired. I just backed my service truck in at work, sitting here in tears laughing, and my customer's foreman walking by, looking at me alone in my truck, cracking up. FML. Dixieland Dan tweets, "I'm swerving all over the road because I have tears rolling down my cheeks from laughing so hard. Listening to a 12 DA of Christmas unfold live is like the eighth wonder of the world, and I was just wondering what Mraz is going to hack up this time instead of a chicken bone." So we already have our epic fail. Stick around for the end of the show for that. And yes, I think we have to put that in the 12 DAs hopper. Hearing you just lament the fact that you're not fat enough to get stomach stapling. And that's a disappointment.
A lot of coaches get fired for having the body I have.
And you're just Kirk Cousins away from stomach stapling, or Kirk Cousins away from being healthy. I don't know.
Right?
Losing weight one way or the other. So that's why Mraz is in a Kirk Cousins jersey in our Target Demo Friday meme today.
I also, DA, have a hint of looking like somebody we'll never name again on the show in there that may or may not have been a Vikings fan with the bald head, and that disappoints me greatly, too.
There's a lot of Easter eggs dipped right into this meme.
and the to-go order phone number for this Waffle House is our show phone number as well.
Cap, oh, wow. I didn't even notice that.
Yeah.
Wow, boy, Cap is buried a lot in here.
It's insane. Ooh. You're right. It is a Highlights magazine. Find the shoe.
It really is like an Easter egg hunt. And I got to tell you, the DA Show logo imprinted on a waffle looks delicious.
Yeah, I wonder if we could get waffle presses made like that. I think that would be great merch. Maybe another giveaway. The DA Show waffles. Having kids ask, Daddy, why does my waffle look like this? Well, it's the show with the fat guy.
It's like us describing to Westwood One why we have to play Super Dave calls. You get it, honey. No, you get it. Your waffle has a sports radio show logo imprinted on the top. Just eat it up. Eat it up, honey.
What is da?
Yeah, why does my waffle say da? So yesterday the Steelers come to an agreement on the contract renegotiation for Ben Roethlisberger. And just reading through the details, it struck me that these capologists, this would be a good job to get into. It is so confusing to figure out how the Steelers were able to save that much money on the salary cap. You know, you've got to get real creative, and there's all these loopholes and ways to do it. And I know a lot of people look at Ben Roethlisberger and say, why bother? Last year, he ended up flaming out toward the end of the season. In that playoff game, he was ungodly bad. Why would you bring him back at 39 years old? And my answer is, well, do you have a better option? That's number one. And if you don't, then can you make this make sense? Mason Rudolph isn't a better option. And I don't ever believe that Mason Rudolph is going to be the heir apparent. I don't ever believe he's going to be the everyday starting quarterback in Pittsburgh. I don't think there's any way that you can look at him and say he feels like the next franchise quarterback on a franchise that is always competing for the playoffs. The way that they did this was they had Ben Roethlisberger reduce his pay from $19 to $14 million, spread the cash payment through the next 2 years, and there's some type of salary cap reduction that they got thrown in there as well that should help them re-sign other players like Bud Dupree potentially. Well, I look at Ben Roethlisberger and I say, okay, there could be the glass half empty. And that is, after 11-0, they struggle down the stretch. Roethlisberger was continuously tinkering with, do we have a deep game? Do we have a short game? Where does he look comfortable? And they lost multiple games down the stretch. And then they lost in the embarrassing, humiliating fashion of the wild card round. And he's 39 years old. Why would you bring that guy back? And I would say this, glass half full is you don't have a better option right now. There are so many teams around football fighting for improvement at quarterback that this is a highly competitive market to try to find a quarterback. And Roethlisberger did throw 33 touchdowns last year and led his team to 11-0. I know that feels like a long time ago, 11-0. I know a lot happened since 11-0. But he was good enough and at times great enough to be 11-0. 33 touchdowns was tied for 7th best in the NFL with Deshaun Watson. And Deshaun Watson had himself a career year. Now granted, if Deshaun Watson was in Pittsburgh with those weapons and those wide receivers, he's probably throwing more like 40 touchdowns. So there's a team that went 12-4, went to the playoffs with 33 touchdowns thrown. There's a team that went 4-12 with 33 touchdowns thrown. I'm not saying Big Ben is as good or better than Deshaun Watson. What I'm saying is it's not nearly as bad as people paint it out to be. His season wasn't nearly as awful as it feels on the back end because of what we saw last. Now, do we see the beginnings of a future Hall of Famer crumbling, kind of like Peyton Manning in the final season, where you just knew the arm strength wasn't there and you needed a great defense to supplement him? Certainly possible. Certainly possible. But I'm not going to ignore the fact that for 11 weeks this year, Ben Roethlisberger was undefeated and he was throwing touchdowns to all of his wide receivers. The reason the bottom dropped out on the season was that the defense suffered massive injuries, huge injuries continuously. Two stud linebackers and a starting corner went down, and they had no run game. I mean, James Conner and company simply could not run the football and or stay healthy. So that doesn't help your 38-year-old quarterback. I think running it back with Ben Roethlisberger, if you want to say, well, D.A., they're not going to win a Super Bowl because Big Ben's not that great anymore. Okay. But is the alternative turning to Mason Rudolph? Because if it is, I'm going to say thanks, but no thanks. I'll take my chances with a 39-year-old Ben Roethlisberger coming off a 33-touchdown season. They still have those wide receivers, even if Juju Smith-Schuster leaves in free agency. They, we assume, will be healthy defensively to at least start the season. And you've got to fix the running back position. You have to find a way to run the football. But that's not a huge ask. If you run the football and have healthy on defense and have a healthy defense, I think Roethlisberger, even at 39 years old, can be good enough to get to the playoffs. Are you going to say, yeah, but they're a one-and-done flameout? Okay. But Mason Rudolph is a one-and-done flameout, too, on his absolute best day and probably more like on his best day, 8-8. So I'm going to take my chances if I can get Big Ben on the contract that I like. So I like this for the Steelers. I think it makes sense. In an offseason where everybody's looking for a new quarterback, why dip your toe into that swimming pool if you don't have to? Mraz, you're on the other side. You don't like this deal at all for the Steelers.
I just think you're completely delaying the inevitable. And if that's what we're playing for in Pittsburgh Steelerland is to make a wild card round and bow out, okay. I just thought the Pittsburgh Steelers had higher standards. And what gets the Steelers closer to a Super Bowl to me is playing Dwayne Haskins. And if he's great, great. If he's terrible, then you're right, probably in the mix in the top 10 next year to take a quarterback then. We're assuming that they're not going to get any one of these quarterbacks in this draft, and they have no real definitive answer. You bring up Mason Rudolph, but they, I mean, I think they would go to Haskins before Rudolph because at least they signed him as a lottery ticket. And the deal here with Ben Roethlisberger is we could focus on touchdown passes. I know you alluded to those on Twitter yesterday. 29th in a passing league in yards per attempt. Coming off that arm surgery, he had a little pop early in the year, but completely faded. And the moment everything didn't go well and perfect for the Steelers, when they got the injuries on defense, they sputtered to the tune, including that playoff loss of 1-5 down the stretch, because he simply isn't good enough unless the situation around him is perfect. And they freed up some cap space, but it's still not enough. And there's a good chance that two huge pieces on that defense, Joe Hayden and Bud Dupree, aren't on this team next year because they can't afford him. So, and you look around that division, they're at best right now, I think, the third best team in the division. And who knows what the Bengals become with Joe Burrow. This kind of feels like they're just clinging to the past because they don't have a proper solution at quarterback. And time has run out on that. And in the end, they're going to need an answer at the future position at quarterback. So you're just delaying that by a year to me.
Well, this helped you get to $15 million of cap space. So you got to sign Bud Dupree or Joe Hayden. You can't let those guys walk. This is
the
point in doing
this. But
it
didn't get you to $15 million in cap space. It freed up $15 million, but you were still $7 million over. So all you have is $8 million in cap space by doing this.
Okay, but they got to get one of those guys back.
They
do. That's why you do this. So if you get one of those guys back, that is part of this. I think number two, let's just say it's not Mason Rudolph because it's going to be Dwayne Haskins. What happens if they end up going 7-9 with Dwayne Haskins this year? That throws you in the middle of the draft anyway. You're kind of assuming Dwayne Haskins is either the franchise quarterback or 4-12.
I disagree with that because I do think, to your point, I think the Steelers' defense is too good, and we saw this with, what was his name, Duck Hodges the year before. I think the Steelers' defense is still too good that you'll never bottom out and be in the top five. So, not to steal the line from the fat stuff we did an hour ago, but to me, I think you almost have to approach this, or I'm going to approach this the same way the Eagles approached Week 17, which is you're not tanking to the tune of we're going to go 4-12, but you're tanking to the tune of if we lose two more games with Roethlisberger, that could be the difference in slotting up and having a more attractive asset if we again have to trade up for a quarterback next year, or maybe you get in a situation where a guy falls to 10. We don't know what the quarterbacks are going to be like next year, but we know they're going to need a young quarterback, and winning 10 games or 11 games and losing the wild card round, it, to me, does less of a service to you than going 7-9 or 6-10 with a Haskins.
But if you would have dialed us back and listened to our shows in mid-November, we were talking about Chiefs-Steelers AFC Championship.
Absolutely.
So you're going to change everything you expect with this team based on the final 6 weeks of the season?
I am, because I'm changing the way Roethlisberger looked. I think that because the defense was so great and because Roethlisberger was playing good enough, it covered up a lot of warts. But the moment it wasn't just one thing or the other. It was a couple things at once. The moment the defense had those injuries that obviously crushed the team, they were sinking at linebacker. But at that same moment, Ben Roethlisberger and his age and coming off the surgery he had showed that his wear and tear on his arm was just depleting, and he also wasn't mobile enough. I believe we played the clip of Ike Taylor a month ago saying the same thing. He just doesn't get himself in shape enough and take care of his body enough to make up for what's being lost in his arm strength. And I think with all of that deterioration, you might have Roethlisberger good for the first 8 weeks fresh. But ultimately, kind of like we saw with Drew Brees, I think the team would be good enough, but he's just not going to be good enough to go get you in contention to beat one of these great teams in the Super Bowl, because we're going to run out of bullets in that arm.
Okay, but, I mean, if he gets you to an AFC championship game or gets you to a Super Bowl, it is definitely worth bringing him back.
Okay.
There's only one team that can win a Super Bowl, but it's not like the Chiefs season was worthless. It's not like the Bills season was worthless. It's not like the Packers season was worthless. You get to the Final Four, that is a worthy season. And if the Steelers' defense is that great, doesn't a game manager Roethlisberger with Chase Claypool and Deontay Johnson actually end up giving you a shot to make the playoffs and win a few games in January?
I look at the scope of the AFC. Do you really think, and look at the Pittsburgh Steelers, knowing that I know that they're going to bring somebody back, but they're going to lose
on
other
November 15th, we had them hosting the AFC Championship.
And they didn't. And that was November 15th, and then we realized what happened after. You could
but they had serious injuries. What happens if they stayed healthy? They could have absolutely been in the AFC Championship game.
So now we're going to assume in the NFL that they're going to be completely healthy next year, with losing the pieces we know they're probably going to lose, and that Roethlisberger isn't going to look even worse than older next year.
They're going to lose pieces they're probably going to lose. That's why they restructured Ben Roethlisberger, to not lose those pieces.
To not lose everybody. They're going to lose some pieces.
Well, you mentioned two players, Hayden and Dupree. If they keep one of those two and stay healthy on defense, they have one of the best defenses in football. Well, they just got to find a running back. They have to be able to run the football. And then Ben Roethlisberger doesn't have to throw for 350 yards every game. If they have a top five defense, which is probable if they keep one of those two guys, and can run the football, why can't the Steelers win the AFC North?
Do you think talent-wise, even with that defense and what they have offensively, they're as good as the Ravens and the Browns? I don't think so.
They won the AFC North this year.
They did.
They won the division.
Because of their fast start at 11-0.
That talent. Well, yeah, but they had the same talent. Do they have the same talent? Yeah, of course they do.
But their quarterback's only going to get worse.
Well,
and we're assuming the run game's going to be fixed. We don't know if the run game's going to be fixed.
But we can't assume that Ben Roethlisberger's going to be terrible either. You can't just assume that. What do you do? You have to work towards improving your team. And so improving your team is...
So you think Ben Roethlisberger's going to get better than he was last year?
He might not get better, but he might stay the same.
I mean,
good for 11 weeks. I mean, it's not, if this team was 6-10 and Roethlisberger had an awful season, I get it. But again, you have no better option. Your defense is only three massive injuries away from having helped carry the team to multiple playoff wins. I mean, I think we all assume they would have been the one or two seed in the AFC had they just stayed healthy on defense. And they had no run game. I don't think that's that hard to envision them making the playoffs again.
I just think you have to rely on a lot of assumptions here. You have to assume that you're going to be completely healthy on defense, and maybe that's the best assumption. You got to assume that Roethlisberger won't fall off even further, where he's playing dink and dunk offense. You have to assume that both the Browns and Ravens won't get better themselves, and then assume that you are, as a whole team, completely healthy, and you assume that you improved the run game. That's a lot of assumptions that are working the wrong way with a quarterback like that who's getting older and looking worse.
But you know what? If you were a Steelers fan instead of a Giants fan, you would assume those things.
I would, and I also assumed those things back in 2016 when the Giants went 11-5, and I was dead wrong. They should have got out from Eli, and they didn't.
But if you were a Steelers fan right now, and you were like, well, we just went 12-4, we had massive injuries on defense, we don't have a better option at quarterback, and there's no quarterbacks to be had in the open market right now unless we give up a leg and an arm. You know what? Why don't we run it back for 1 year? You would be all in on that situation.
So that is the one part of this argument I agree with you, is because of the craziness and everybody's thirst for a quarterback this year, that they maybe just don't have any, and obviously they've proved that they don't really have a choice. But I don't know how you, even as a Steelers fan, I think you hope for the best, but I don't know that you could assume anything other than we're probably going to make the wild card round and lose. And to me, I think if you're the Steelers and you play for Super Bowls, it just feels like a delaying of the inevitable. And you're just – that defense – you know, do you want to be the Denver Broncos? I know the Denver Broncos won a Super Bowl. It's a bad example. But they let that defense, and they thought that defense would be great, and then they swam floundering trying to find a quarterback, and then the defense aged out. To me, I'd rather start that clock now knowing I'm going to have this defense pretty young for a couple of years and get this thing moving.
But it's kind of weird that you're making this argument, because we were fighting the opposite argument back during the season when I said you have to have elite quarterback to win a Super Bowl, and you said, no, you don't. Look at Nick Foles and look at some of these other recent Super Bowl winners where, you know, Jared Goff got to a Super Bowl, and you're like, you don't really need that. And so now you're saying that unless you have Ben Roethlisberger as an elite quarterback, it's not worth competing, even if you have a great defense. I mean, the Buccaneers get to a Super Bowl this year, at least in part because of a great defense. If the Steelers have a defense like the Buccaneers, I'm not saying Ben Roethlisberger is going to be Tom Brady, but if you have a great defense, that can help carry you to a postseason and a postseason win or two.
Sure it can, but again, the point of your argument that I ended up later agreeing with wasn't just that the quarterback itself needs to be elite, but they need to rise to that level of play in the postseason like a Nick Foles did. And I just don't know. Again, Ben Roethlisberger, all he became was dink and dunk because he can't get the ball down the field in a league where you have to get the ball down the field and spread it to those wide receivers. That's a major concern I would have for that Steeler offense.
He threw 33 touchdowns last year. It's not like he had no arm. It's not like it was Peyton Manning at the end.
What were his long touchdowns like? There weren't long touchdown strikes. This was 6.9 yards per attempt, DA. 6.9 yards per attempt. 29th in the league. Can't throw the ball.
I think that changed over time as the season wore on. I think early in the season that offense was creating big plays. I think as the season wore on, defenses got kind of hip to it. And maybe Roethlisberger's arm strength did end up dipping, and he tried to do too much later in the season. And remember, it was kind of clunky. They didn't know if they wanted to be a short passing game, a long passing game. But early in the season, it wasn't long ago where we were like, wow, the Steelers look really good, and Roethlisberger looks really good. I just think we shouldn't have that short of a memory that the two of us were talking about how great the Steelers looked late October.
I agree. And things changed. Things changed. So, look, there's a long way to go in the offseason. There's a lot of ifs to go in the offseason with run game and defensive players and all of that. But I'm telling you right now, there are going to be a lot of people, probably including myself, that come time in August, we're probably not picking the Steelers to even make the playoffs.
Well, maybe not, but I do think you have to always wonder, what's the alternative? And people say, well, it's Super Bowl or bust. Well, there's only one team that can win a Super Bowl. And so you have to build a good team to be competitive and make the playoffs. And you have to hope some things go your way, but it's not going to always be Super Bowl or bust. I mean, the Steelers haven't won a Super Bowl in 10 years. Well, more than that, 12 years. So it's always about building a competitive team, hoping you peak at the right time, hoping you're balanced.
True.
And if you do that and you're one of the 4 to 6 best teams in football, I think it's a worthy season. Either way, the Steelers are getting Ben Roethlisberger back for one more year. It is definitely on him to be healthy and to be in shape and to be focused. Now the responsibility lies on him to actually get in shape at 39 years old. You like a bear claw for breakfast, a little pastry item?
I don't mind. See, I wish pastries, ironically, were healthier. A good breakfast pastry, I'm all about. Again, I'm not big on cream exploding in your mouth. I've referenced that several times. Mm-hmm. But I don't mind it. You get a little powdered sugar on your little underneath your nose. I like that look.
Well, they're delicious because they're not healthy. That's the key here. A lot of butter, a lot of cream, and a lot of richness, and a lot of jelly sometimes, and sugar on top. And
no, you're right.
That's why it's so delicious.
But we're trending in the right direction. These gluten-free cookies have gotten out of control. They're awesome now. So I think that we could find ways to make pastry healthier, even if it's for a next generation.
You can find some decent gluten-free items these days. I'm gonna tell you. It's kind of surprising, because if you tried gluten-free 10 years ago, awful. Absolutely disgusting. But recently, there's been kind of a boom in it, so I think you're right. There's some good food science going on these days. Now, Merez does not like maple syrup on his on his waffle. You might call it maple syrup. I call it syrup. I love maple syrup. Bogues loves maple syrup. I think Pete the Body loves maple syrup as well. Pete, is that true?
I do, but I also like jam on a waffle as well.
Jam on a waffle is good as well. Yeah, that's true. Robert is in Oklahoma, and he had called to let us know the proper way to eat a waffle. Robert, good morning.
Morning, D.A. Can I get a BMO?
You know it.
Hey, yeah, before I trash Mraz, I love Mraz, but by the way, so I've got a deluxe, a supreme, and a platinum waffle. The deluxe waffle comes with chocolate chips and butter. Yeah. If you want to top that, you go with the supreme waffle, which you would top it with the pancake and add either honey or a maple syrup combination. And the platinum comes with the slice of French toast on top with all the toppings.
So three different bread items. You're doing a French toast on top of a pancake on top of a waffle?
Yeah, I got that idea from my daughter because one day I was cooking. She's 6 years old. Couldn't decide whether you want waffles, French toast, or pancakes. So she said, hey, do all three. That's where I got the idea from. Platinum, wow. Deluxe, Supreme.
That's incredible. Wow, that's aggressive. Okay, I like it. Anything else there? I think that's it for Robert. Okay, that's an amazing.
Drop the mic.
What do you think, Mraz, about three different bread items?
Well, it's a lot of bread. I would question, we know some other parents like he does that would maybe fatten their kids in that way. At least he's cooking at home. I would say I don't mind it because I do think there's different textures involved between a pancake, a waffle, and a French toast. They're all cut from the same cloth with their own twist on it. So if you put them all down in one bite, I just question, though, once you're doing that maple syrup and honey combo, does it all just taste the same? I don't know. But I like that idea. I'd go to another level, maybe a silver platinum medal and crack an egg over it, too. Who cares? Let's put it all down.
Does that seem a little piggish to you?
Well, here's the thing. I think that the pancake, the waffle, and the French toast are so wonderful on their own that by putting them all together, I think you might lose something there. You know, yeah. To me.
But D.A., James Harden never won a title in Houston.
Well, that is true. Harden individual greatness, Kyrie individual greatness, Kevin Durant individual greatness. You bring them together, they can win a championship, I suppose. But my issue there is if I'm going to double up something on like a pancake or a waffle or French toast, I wanted, as you said, throw some eggs on top of that. Throw some bacon on top of that. Give me something like that instead of a pancake, which to me might flatten the taste of the waffle.
Yeah, because again, you're doing so much sweet with that bread going on there that you want to add the salt. That's why, I mean, heck, all these restaurants do the pancake combo with the eggs and bacon, of course. So you're doing sweet on top of sweet on top of sweet, which is bread on top of bread on top of bread. Obviously not gluten-free. Now, my question, though, D.A., maybe, he didn't really mention this, chocolate chips in the waffle at the bottom, but then maybe a blueberry in the pancake, and then you a little cinnamon French toast, and then at least you're getting the blend of the chocolate and the berries and the French toast to switch up the taste with
that
it as well.
It.
Instead of plain, give me separation with that.
Yeah, that could be it. You know, you taught me something very important, that is to change up the palate. When you have, let's say, 10 chicken tenders in front of you, instead of getting redundant with just dipping it into one type of sauce, a ketchup, a barbecue sauce, a Polynesian, a sweet and sour, something like this, if you line up different sauces, it's going to keep changing up the palate and refresh your taste buds. I've adopted that from you. I made myself chicken tenders a couple of weeks ago, and I said, you know what? In honor of Mraz, let me get the ketchup and the barbecue sauce and the sweet and sour sauce here, dip a little bit one, then the other, and it really does vary up the entire meal instead of getting kind of tired of one or the other by the end of it. And that's a bit of my concern with the waffle, the French toast, and the pancake on top of one another. As you said, get some chocolate in there, get some fresh fruit in there, get some syrup in there, get some bacon in there. Let's change it up a little bit to create some dividers.
I would also say if you're making that kind of breakfast, and I'm sure there's going to be a listener out there that tries this weekend, leave room for a nap, because I don't think that's exactly one where you make sure you run out to Target or Walmart right after, because it's going to be a real situation.
And for the final time this week, we're stunned.
It
doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
DA, I was sent this by James Peters on Twitter and thought of you immediately. Now, hopefully we are done shoveling large amounts of snow here in the Northeast. I know you've had your issues with the local plow guy, so maybe you can hire this lady the next time you need some shoveling. Erin Peace of South Lyon, Michigan, was seen shoveling her driveway in late February in a pink and purple full body, full head cover, unicorn costume.
Wow.
Michigan winters are tough. They shovel more than we do, so you have to have some fun with it, I guess. However, I don't know if a full unicorn costume is good when it comes to keeping you warm and or dry. Maybe it's not comfortable pushing a, you know, snowblower while you're in this bad boy, but at least you're the cool neighbor, I guess. And I actually think this is a pretty good business idea. Imagine if the guys that came to shovel you out or your landscaper showed up in as a character, like the Power Rangers or the Ninja Turtles, making cleaning up your property. I might pay extra for something like that.
I would, too. I really love this story. I'm glad you thought of me. I thought maybe you thought of me because I like to have fun in the snow. I think everybody gets depressed in the snow. I like to go sleigh riding or sledding or skiing or ice fishing or do something recreational outside.
As a unicorn.
So I really appreciate this because the winter can be depressing if you let it be depressing. It's not a lot of sunlight. You're shoveling a lot. You're freezing cold. Slick roads, all of this. Schools are closed traditionally if you're not doing from homeschooling. So it's an issue. I get it. But I think you have to look at glass half full. And I like this lady trying to find a way to have fun with your snow blower. And in this way, a pink unicorn daintily hopping up the driveway, snow blowing, just gives me a smile on my face. And this unicorn costume is one of those inflatable unicorn costume, so there's got to be some type of air thing going on through here. And she's also kind of like hopping and skipping up the driveway looking like a real My Little Pony unicorn. So she's just in character. It's not easy to keep that head balanced as you snowblow. And she's having fun with her snowblowing. I really like this lady. This is a lady of my own type of attitude and personality. I love it.
She's a leader, DA. I like she's a leader because the moment you get that first snowfall, all right, things are beautiful. But when you get beaten over the head with snow, like I'm sure you do in Michigan, like we have in the Northeast, it just gets depressing. And the only way to get out of that depression sometimes of snow falling is just to find something spontaneous to make you laugh. And she's not maybe doing this for herself, but if you looked out your window and you saw a pink unicorn snow blowing at your neighbor's house, you would laugh, you would breathe that sigh of relief, and suddenly getting beaten over your head with another foot of snow doesn't seem so depressing when you see the pink unicorn. We need leaders. She's a leader.
That's exactly right. And this was happening in late February. So this was not the first snowfall. This is after 2 to 3 months of getting pounded in Michigan. So that just goes to show you she's still keeping a positive attitude. It's a little bit like Tom Brady down 25 points in the Super Bowl against the Falcons saying, keep your head up. Let's keep going here. Let's stay positive. Let's make some plays. One play away from turning this thing around. That's what she's doing here. That costume also on Amazon is about a $50 costume. So that's a pretty decent investment that you're making in the moment. I love this lady. In fact, I really love this lady for snow blowing her own driveway. Forget about a man. Forget about a husband, a brother, a whoever, a son. You're blowing it yourself. I love this lady. This Erin Peace woman in North Lyon in Michigan. She's my type of gal. That's my type of people right there.
Yep. We're getting the break yell at now.
Okay.
Yeah, Pete hates her. Go to break.
If you are watching at watchda.com or on Twitch, you see our logo as a waffle, and it's amazing. Just, it's really the highlight of my week, the DA show as a waffle logo.
It's a Friday fiesta. Here's what our listeners in the Target demo are up to.
Smitty tweets in, DA, sitting in my car at work listening on 93.1 KTIK in Boise, and I like my waffles covered in bacon and topped with maple syrup. Target demo Friday.
With bacon.
MSU Spartan Honk tweets, just submitted my third of five written PhD candidacy exams, celebrating with the DA show and some good burgers.
Good
Target
burgers.
Demo.
Burgers.
Astrophysical Anomaly, listening in Indy on 1430 AM. You got to go to Waffle House, get the waffle, then you get to top it with Burt's chili and the cheese, onions, jalapenos, and tomatoes. That there is good eating. DA, beam me aboard that mothership. Whoa. Imagine cheese, onions, jalapenos, tomatoes, chili on a waffle. Max tweets, I'm listening on 93.3 in Lynchburg, Virginia. Looks like a slow news day, a slow day rather, of hauling trash. Almost made it to the weekend. Syrup is a staple of waffles. I cover my bacon or sausage in it too. It's amazing. Hashtag with bacon. Can I get a Bebo?
With bacon.
Amos is in Tennessee. Ho! Hey! Ho! What up, fellas? Listening from Asheville, North Carolina, from the SoCon tournament. Mraz, when I go to Waffle House, I get two waffles, chocolate chip waffle, and a regular waffle on top. I don't like the chocolate chips on top, so I sandwich them. Butter spread, of course. Target Demo Friday.
Hey! Ho! Hey!
Greasy's listing on the radio.com app here in Nashville. Chocolate chips, pecans, real maple syrup on my waffles. I don't trust people that use corn syrup. Okay, Target Demo. Ed is listing on Sirius XM in Pennsylvania. Big Rams fan. These Target Demo Friday memes are awesome. This one makes me want a waffle. Good job, Cap. Target Demo.
Happy being alive, Dave.
AZ and Wisco is listening on the radio.com app, working on day two of a four-day Wisco State Championship swim meet with my daughter. Time to swim fast. Hashtag beam us up.
Happy being alive, Dave.
Rob in the 321 is listening in Cocoa Beach, getting ready to do my happy butt wiggle on my chair because I'm going to eat some yummy waffles. Allows me to adjust my pacemaker. Don't want it to explode to the delightful food I'll be shoveling down my gullet. Hashtag Target Demo. Brett's in Boise on the radio.com app at work. I keep my waffles simple, just a little butter topped with maple syrup and a spoonful of peanut butter on the side. Like Mraz, my wife always tells me I never even taste my food. Hashtag Fast Eater Club. Mac and Bear, good morning, DA and crew. Listening on the Sirius XM app. Driving up the Jersey Turnpike, a great week of shows. My favorite was watching Mraz eating with so much fun and enjoyment, and Pete's comment about Father Dave, Father Friedman. Have a great weekend. Beam me up, DA.
He has a weird waist.
Char tweets, Mraz is my soulmate. No syrup on a waffle, just butter dripping off a handheld waffle I love. Target Demo.
Is it eggs, dairy?
Mike is listing on 96.7 in Greenville, Pennsylvania. Waffles with lots of butter and blueberry syrup. Target Demo Friday.
A dump's a dump.
Jeffrey, yo, DA, listening to the show in Philly, radio.com. To eat waffles, pancakes, or French toast without syrup is un-American. Tell Mraz to straighten up and slather on that maple greatness. Beam me up.
Hello.
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 Good morning.
Hello.
Hello.
And Tyler's listening in Seattle at 4 a.m. You guys help my 12-hour day start off with a Mraz laugh and needless sports info that I already know. Love the Super Dave cuts, though. Play more of those. Just kidding, you guys rock. Hashtag Brandon Whedon's a bum. Hashtag with bacon.
Have fun with your marriage.
With bacon.
Good Tim burgers.
Tim on Facebook is on Boise's 93.1 The Ticket, driving around while eating a Belgian waffle with strawberry jelly and whipped cream. Target Demo Friday. Hey! Tommy on Facebook, good morning, DA. How are you? I'm here in San Jose. Got to go to work. I usually only eat Eggo buttermilk waffles with butter and syrup, nothing fancy. I'm listening to you guys via the podcast after the live show is over today. I won't know if this is read on air until much later, so beam me up.
You better bring your raincoat.
Yeah, Edwards in Oregon. 95.3 is what I got you on, and butter, peanut, and syrup is how I eat my waffles. Beam me up. Tony on Facebook, 100.3 in Myrtle Beach. Have a great day and awesome weekend. Beam me up, DA. Erica's on Sirius XM, channel 206. Love you guys. Glad to see you guys are still kicking. Beam me up.
And they score! They score!
Jeff is in Eagle, Idaho. KTIK, the ticket. Waffles, maple syrup with extra butter. Thanks for the take on the Jazz. Loved it. Been a Jazz fan since Pistol Pete Maravich donned their uniform. Target Demo Friday.
A stadium dong right to the face.
And finally, Ricky on Facebook. What's up, DA? Listening to the best show in the universe on the CBS Sports Radio app in Detroit. Nothing better than waffles, peanut butter, and syrup. Hashtag, you need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
It doesn't matter who we are. What matters is our plan.
If you're not making tacos, I don't love you no more.
Excuse me.
Yeah, and that is your Target Demo Friday. Now, earlier in the morning, we had such a funny moment. This was in hour number one, so this was a while ago, but this is hour number one, and we just started cracking up as Mraz told us that he's not heavy enough to qualify for gastric bypass. It is instantaneously a 12DA candidate. It is today's epic fail.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
The Mraz diet. Have your plate-sized waffle. Throw your chocolate chips on top, but don't dare have that maple syrup, and you'll be perfectly thin in a couple of weeks.
Have it before 5 p.m.
And you know the craziest? I'm still not fat enough if I wanted weight loss surgery. I don't even qualify for weight loss surgery because I'm not fat enough. I am like, I'm a meddling 8-8 team. I can't get to the top of the draft, and I'll never win a Super Bowl.
I like mayonnaise.
Pretzel bun?
I'm just thinking about all the NBA teams that finished just outside the lottery. They're like, we hate it here. It's terrible. We'll never land LeBron, and we'll never win an NBA championship. Basically, you've got to be the process in Philadelphia and just tank, and you've got to become 400 pounds.
Right!
Because where you are right now is not working.
That's crazy. I have a better shot of losing weight if I eat myself out of my home.
As a nice little flavor enhancer. Oh.
A stadium
so that's the goal
dong
now.
Right to the face.
Now you got to gain 100 before Taylor's in kindergarten.
That's the goal. That's the goal.
And
now.
Then go the other way.
And then hope I survive the table. It's ridiculous.
Well, while they're in there, they'll throw your pacemaker in, get that in ahead of the curve.
Got to be like going to Costco. Give me everything you got. The stent, the pacemaker.
While you got me open, just throw it all in.
I'll take 16 rolls of toilet paper, whatever you could do here.
Chorizo!
While what? I'm open, throw it all in.
We know I'll be back.
Just dump all the metal objects you got in there.
It's like going for the oil change. We see this air filter's dirty here, too. All right, change that. Here's the credit card.
6-for-1 deals.
Mraz gets a coupon out of the circular for it.
Chorizo!
I need everything, guys. I need the works.
The works.
Jiffy Lube Hospital.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
And a free oil change with your stent and your pacemaker. You get it all at the Jiffy Lube Hospital. That was so great. But we found out that Mraz is just another 8-8 NFL team hoping maybe to sign Kirk Cousins to win an NFC East. That's essentially where he stands. Can't lose enough weight to be healthy. Can't gain enough weight to get gastric bypass. And then, as Mraz said, and then I got to survive the table. So morbid. Danielle's like, Sean, I thought you were trying to get healthy by Taylor's second birthday. I am. I'm trying to eat everything in sight. I need to qualify for gastric bypass by October. It's my only shot.
Trust the process.
Trust the process. You eat everything in the house. Don't worry, Danielle. Trust the process.
Maybe we'll get Nerland's Noel.
Powdered sugar all over his face. Ketchup all over his shirt. Don't worry, honey. Trust the process. Thanks to Sean Mraz, Pete the Body Bellotti, Andrew Kaplan, and Andrew Bogish. Be good and be good to one another. We'll see you on Monday. The Mothership Disconnects.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you.
I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.